Sudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's Canto 9, Chapter 21, and that's text number 18. Tat prasanganubhavena Ranti deva nuvartana Abhavan yogina sarve Narayana parayanam Tat prasanganubhavena Ranti deva nuvartana Abhavan yogina sarve Narayana parayanam Tat prasanganubhavena Vanti deva nuvartana Abhavan yogina sarve Narayana parayana.
Please chant. Sarve Ladies, please. Any more takers? No? Any of the men would like to do? One or two? We missed?
Tat prasanga anubhavena. Because of us,
it stops now.
Thanks.
Yeah, listen.
Tat prasanga anubhavena. Because of associating with King Runtidev, when talking with him about Bhakti Yoga, Runtideva Anuvartana, the followers of King Runtidev, that is his servants, his family members, his friends and others, Abhavan became Yogina, first-class mystic yogis, or bhakti yogis, sarve, all of them, Narayana, Parayana, devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He, all those who followed the principles of King Runtidev, were totally favored by His mercy and became pure devotees attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Thus, they all became the best of yogis. Please repeat. All those who followed the principles of King Runtidev were totally favored by his mercy and became pure devotees attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Thus they all became the best of yogis. Purport. The best yogis or mystics are the devotees, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgitena tadantmana shvadavan bhajate yomam same yuktatmau mata. Sorry. Which means, of all yogis, he who always abides in me, Krishna is speaking now, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Unquote. The best yogi is he who constantly thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of the heart. Because Runtidev was the king, the chief executive in the state, all the residents of the state became devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, by the king's transcendental association. This is the influence of a pure devotee. If there is one pure devotee, his association can create hundreds and thousands of pure devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnav is meritorious in proportion to the number of devotees he has created. A Vaishnav becomes superior not simply by jugglery of words, but by the number of devotees he has created for the Lord. Here the word Runtidevanuvartana indicates that Runtidev's officers, friends, relatives, and subjects all became first-class Vaishnavas by his association. In other words, Runtidev is confirmed herein to be a first-class devotee, or Mahabhagavat. Mahatseva Prabram Ahur Vimukte. One should render service to such Mahatmas, for then one will automatically achieve the goal of liberation. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has also said, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. One cannot be liberated by his own efforts. But if one becomes subordinate to a pure Vaishnava, the door to liberation is open. Amagina timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. All those who followed the principles of King Runti Dev were totally favored by his mercy and became pure devotees attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Thus they all became the best of yogis.
It's quite a purport and quite a verse. So we should ask ourselves, and I'm sure many have, why is Runti Dev being so highly praised, highly extolled, applauded herein? And it's quite obvious when we actually examine just one little incident which appears in this particular chapter. As we have already read, but it doesn't hurt repeating it, when I travel to different cities and states, I often tell this story because it's very illustrative of the fact that Runti Dev was an ideal king. He was a King Ambarish, King Prahlad, King Dhruva, King Yudhisthira. These are all on basically the same level in the sense that they all transcendental, the conscious. They think of Krishna night and day. But not just thinking of him as a person might sit down and meditate on his beautiful face, which has its place, but thinking of him in terms of how can I best serve him? How can I better serve him? So, So in the case of Runti Dev, the people had a very wonderful, very glorious, very exemplary person which to emulate, you know, to follow, to look up to. And as they followed the different things that he did, they felt the tremendous benefits that he himself felt. So in effect, we have this word contagion, which is generally used in a negative sense, but here it's used in a positive sense in that the contagion of spirituality became sharply and intensely manifest. Whoever emulated, whoever glorified Runti Dev, whoever bowed down to Runti Dev, would receive very wonderful experience in terms of God realization. So therefore we should never ignore or neglect the opportunities that we sometimes get to offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada. Should never be regarded as just another person, especially not just a statue. We have deities here. They're all alive. Fully alive with spirituality, which is the only reality. Everything else comes and goes, but the transcendental plane is forever. So we all have this wonderful opportunity, and we should not disregard it or be indifferent to it, but should cherish it and should treasure it as something not earned, but something gifted. Something received as a gift. We all have our basket of sins throughout our lives. So many. But because devotees here, we're all trying our very best to serve the Supreme Lord, please the Supreme Lord, honor the Supreme Lord, become reformed by the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, the Lord disregards, he ignores, he doesn't consider all these past sins, faults, failings. His only concern is how to get us to the next level, the next highest step that will lead us to his eternal abode. This is a very compassionate, a very understanding, and very loving person. Hardly can we even find such a person in the material world. Of course, we see this manifest in even in a more dramatic fashion in the case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who went to the extent that no matter who a person was, the lowest of the low, you know, Chandala, or highest of the high, Brahman, whoever he, for example, when he went traveling to South India, whomever he met, he would start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They would chant it right into their face. And something would happen, something very miraculous, something transformative would occur. He released a certain potency which he had not in Bengal. That's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that potency was the potency which I, for want of a better word, of is contagion. When a person had it, it was like he suddenly caught a disease. You know, when you touch somebody who's got, you know, poison ivy, he puts it on you, and you suddenly you start scratching because it's spreading. In the same manner, when persons would hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant the holy name, they would become suddenly aroused first to a minimal ecstasy, moderate ecstasy, and intense ecstasy. And they had couldn't figure it out where this was coming from. All they know, it was just delicious. You know, it's like somebody takes a big piece of sandesh and stuffs it in your mouth, and you start, wow, this is delicious, this is wonderful. So that was it. And then Lord Chaitanya would go from person to person. And those persons who received it and were dancing and chanting and clapping and bouncing around, singing, they would tell it to their friends or their children or to their fathers or their wives or their sisters. And those who heard it also caught the contagion of the emotion. And they started chanting. And this is the way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the Sankirtan movement in South India. He spread it through this incredible potency so that so many people could not resist, if you will, the temptation of chanting it again and again and again. People would start chanting it. Another person would hear it. He would chant. He would chant. It was almost like a pandemonium of Hare Krishna chanting. So this is a very... I'm speaking of this in the context of the special mercy that Lord Chaitanya released. Of course, Krishna himself was very merciful. Krishna put some certain restrictions, of course, whereas Lord Chaitanya did not put any restrictions. He said that these teachings should not be given to those who are not austere or devoted or who are not engaged in devotional service. He said, and to those who envy me, don't give it to those people. But Lord Chaitanya, in fact, he went the other way, because there were so many people who were envious of him and were making nasty remarks about him. He took sannyas, and he made sure that they got the holy name, that everybody got the holy name, because he wanted everyone to become God-conscious, God-realized, and be free of the horrible sufferings that human beings were going through. He was feeling their sufferings very intensely, and he wanted to... Two aspects there are of love. There's the aspect of wanting to relieve a person of some suffering or pain. So that's an aspect of love. And then there is the other aspect of wanting to give affection, wanting to give a gift, wanting to give something that gives pleasure. So those are two very important aspects. So Lord Chaitanya gave both. You know, he gave the holy name, And then also people who were suffering, Lord Chaitanya would see their suffering, he would give them the holy name. And people would chant it, people would be benefited by it, and so forth. In fact, he even did some miraculous healings and cures. There was a leper, Vasudev the leper, in South India. So he was highly devoted. He was so devoted that he had the leprosy and he had these wounds and or whatever they call those, pustules. And on top of the pustules, there were little worms crawling. So his mentality, just think about this, his mentality was that he felt he deserved this. He felt he was a sinner personified. So when a worm would fall to the ground, he would stoop down, pick it up, and put it back in its place. Yeah, just think about that. It's an amazing consciousness. He felt he deserved worse, and he made it clear to his own mind that he did deserve worse. And out of this level, this depth of humility, came an interesting incident. He had heard that Lord Chaitanya had come to this particular Brahmin, and he was at that Brahmin's house. And so he heard about it, so he rushed to reach that place before the Lord would depart. And when he got there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gone. So he looked here and there, and when he heard he was gone, he just, oh my God, and he just fell to the ground unconscious. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient. He knows everything. He's also omnipresent. In the heart of the Brahman, he knows the Brahman. And he could feel the tender, loving, urgent feelings that this Brahman was experiencing. He was practically dying in the separation. The Lord Chaitanya came back. And then the Brahman was just getting up. He's just looking. And then as he got up, what did the Lord do? He picked him up. He embraced him. And all the, what do you call those, pustules and drippings and droppings, whatever. I don't know what they call them. But they're all over Lord Chaitanya's body. After he's taking a bath in the pus. But he didn't consider it something foul. He didn't consider it something evil because he was able to see, unlike most persons. When most persons would see this man, they would just shun him and go to the other side of the street. But when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he saw the degree, the level, the intensity of love that this person had for Krishna. And all he wanted to do was reciprocate that love in a more physical, active, vibrant fashion. So he took the Brahman and he hugged him and hugged him and hugged him. And then he let go. And the Brahman was completely cured of this leprosy. He was cured of it. And he looked. He said, "Oh my Lord, what have you done?" He said, "What do you mean, what have I done? Can't you see?" He says, "Yes, but I'm very much frightened." "Frightened of what?" He says, "Well, everybody will see me now that I don't have leprosy. And they will know, the word will travel like lightning. And they will say, oh, there is Vasudev the leper, whom Lord Chaitanya cured. And they will be bowing down to me. They will be applauding me. They will be praising me. They will be honoring me. How in the world am I to deal with this? How? I can't. I'm too fallen. I'm too wretched. I'm too low. Please help me. Give me something I can do to overcome this, to resist the temptation to become proud, to become arrogant, to become haughty, to become a person who thinks he's superior to all others. What can I do?" So he said, Lord Chaitanya said, "You just non-stop, continuous, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you will not get far. But don't stop. When you hear all this going on, oh, you're so wonderful. He says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare. So that the positivity will destroy the negativity. Of course, it's positive in the sense it's praise, it's love. But for the devotee, he doesn't want that. He wants to remain in his humble position as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the gopis. That's his position. And that's the one he feels comfortable in. That's the one he enjoys. That's the one he wants to serve the Lord by. Anything outside of that, anything above that is complete maya. He knows that. So, therefore, Vasudev, the leper, felt very confident now. And when Lord Chaitanya left, he went ahead and did what he did. So we had a similar situation with Sanatan Goswami, was full of all sorts of sores. And the same thing happened. He got cured. The Lord gave him an embrace. But his situation was a little bit different than that. When the Lord went for him, Sanatan backed away. The Lord went forward, he backed away. You can't get away from me. But I'm contaminated. Look at me. I'm horrible. No, you're not. You're beautiful. He grabbed him and embraced him and wouldn't let him out. And then, of course, basically the same thing happened. Anyway, important point of this is that we come back to King Runtidev. Runtidev's his vow with respect to the fast for 48 days and nights, respect to that, having no food. I don't know if he took any water. It doesn't say he took water even. So for 48 days, nothing going in. So the main point was not that he was able to fulfill, you know, the vow. The purpose of the vow was so that he'd become a better king. A king that could really serve his subjects. A king that could express love to his subjects. A king that could spread goodwill and good cheer to all of his subjects. Whatever a great man does, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So this was Runtidev's desire. Therefore, it was not so much that the fulfillment of the vow, what he wanted to do primarily, is relieve suffering. So, first person came in, he was a Brahmin. And he came in and he said, oh, I'm so hungry. Just at that time, Runtidev served a meal to break the fast. So the Brahmin says, I'm so hungry, please, can you help me? Of course I can help you. Hey, you sit down, put him a table, sat him down, took half of the prasad and sat him, he ate it, and he left. Runtidev felt very good that he had fed a Brahmin as being more important than feeding himself, even though he hadn't eaten in 48 days, and his stomach was probably going through all kinds of rumbling and conniptions. So anyway, the next another person came in, a Shudra came in. And he said, can you spare something, anything, O king? I said, of course. Well, I forgot to mention that. Okay, so half of it he gave to this person. And then he was left with the other half. And then he cut that half, sent half of it to his family, and he kept half for himself. So he gave the Shudra half of what he had. So Runtidev just had a little piece now. Hardly enough for even a mouse. But at least he had that. So then after that, he ate the Shudra, and then he left. And then after that, a man came with some dogs. And the dogs were barking and they were hungry. They could feed my dogs. He says, well, I don't have that much, but here, take this little bit and give it to them. So the dogs got it. There was only a glass of water left. Now the king did not say, well, I don't care who comes in now, I'm going to drink the glass of water, as some selfish person might.
feel? And can't you blame him after 48 days? Anyway, another man did come in. He was a chandala, the lowest of the lowest, not even a caste. And he asked if he could have something, please, to drink. He was so thirsty. He says, "Yeah, take my water." So he gave him the water. He drank it. He says, "Oh, thank you so much, my king," and he left. The king felt so exalted, felt so uplifted, so enraptured at that moment, that a prayer emitted from his mouth. "My dear Lord, I don't pray to you for the 8 mystic powers of the yogis, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I only ask that you let me stay among the living beings and bear difficulties for them, so that they may be freed from all sufferings." And he's not just talking about physical or mental. He's talking spiritual, because that's his chief forte. He wants everyone to become self-realized, God-realized. And he wants everyone to have that kind of health that is useful or conducive to God-realization, so that you can do your practices, you can stand up and walk, 16 rounds. I mean, you get older, it becomes difficult to walk for 2 hours and so forth. Anyway, that was his prayer. And when he finished the prayer, the two demigods who were responsible for impersonating those 4 particular individuals, Lord Brahma was one of them, and Lord Shiva was another one. So basically, they were smiling at him, expecting or thinking that he may ask them for a benediction. But Rantidev asked for nothing. He knew they could not give him what he already had. He had pure God realization, pure realization of Narayan in the heart, outside the heart, in the floor, in the ceiling, in the light. There was not a speck of space where he was not experiencing God realization, not experiencing love of God. So he didn't ask for anything. They left. So this is so instructive to all of us. Because I sometimes even see devotees that get tied up, and maybe I should pray to this demigod because, maybe she'll give me a son. And I'll pray to this demigod, he'll give me some power to defeat my enemies. Why? This is not Prabhupada's philosophy. Prabhupada preached very strongly, within Krishna, all the incarnation exists. What to speak of the demigods who have limited power, can do anything without the permission of the Supreme Lord. If the Supreme Lord doesn't give his permission, they can't do it. So, important point that we have is that whatever we need, as Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do it for me. In this way, you'll be freed from the bondage to work. And it's auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and you will come to me. Guarantee, promise. When Arjuna and Krishna were sitting in the chariot, and Krishna, having doubts, wondering if after killing so many people, how in the world will he ever get back to Godhead? So Krishna assured him. He says, "Therefore, Arjuna." Now, the verse jumped out of my head. "Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt." That comes just after the verse Whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. And whatever state of being one remembers at the end, whatever state of being one remembers will attain what? My nature. Is that? Okay. Could you a little louder, please? Will that fail? Yes, thank you. So that was an assurance. So here, as I said, we have King Ranti Dev, who is classified by Srila Prabhupada in these purports as a Mahabhagavat. There are 12 Mahabhagavats that we know of, but there are many, many others. But those are the 12 that are mentioned in that particular verse of the 12 Mahabhagavats. But here Prabhupada mentions another one. So we have to take shelter. That prayer that I said, you know, King Ranti Dev says, I say that every morning, and I really feel very enlivened and enraptured when I say it. And that's because it's coming from a great source. My dear Lord, I don't pray to you for the 8 mystic powers of the yogis, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I only ask that you let me stay among the living beings and bear difficulties for them. So that's all he wants to do. He's a true father. Fathers and mothers, they bear difficulties for their children. And in so doing, they feel great happiness. Sometimes people say, but if they're bearing difficulties, how can they experience happiness? I think that came out someone in yesterday's class. If they're bearing difficulties or pains, that is not contradictory to being blissful. Not at all. Pain is one thing. If you are a sense gratifier, then the pain prevents you or prevents us from enjoying sense pleasure. If you've got some pain and it's distracting you and you want to eat something and taste it, but the pain keeps pulling your mind away. So that's a reason why people are unhappy when they have pain. But a devotee can have pain. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He went for several years. In fact, the last year, there was plenty of pain. But he never complained. Not only did he not complain, but he even did his service, which indicates he was so polished and so perfect in control over his mind and senses and intelligence that he was able to put anything that distracted him aside and thereby continue what he had to do. So happiness is an inner condition. As it's mentioned in the verse, a liberated person is not attracted to material sense enjoyment, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on whom? On the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that's the key. There are 9 forms of devotional service, the one of which is most important, and some of the others are also important. The important thing is that we practice them, we get into the habit of remembering Krishna, we get into the habit of spreading this to others, like Lord Chaitanya did. He chanted to other people. And by so doing, we try to encourage them. Sometimes we cannot be so direct, so we go indirect. But gradually you lead to Hare Krishna. Sometimes you get these telemarketers, they come in, hello, this is from the Firemen's Association, we're trying to raise donations. I said, well, I'm from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I'm trying to raise donations too. Let me tell you something, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What's that all about? You don't know what that's about? Let me tell it to you again. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Anyway, after a while, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, the guy thinks I'm wacko, maybe. On the other hand, but I usually tell him, I have been chanting these magical words for many, many years, and I can only tell you that all I have gotten is well-being. Physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, intellectual well-being, and a consciousness that is ever enraptured. Wouldn't you like to have that? Well, yeah, I would. Good. Chant Hare Krishna. That's the end of that. Okay, so are there any questions or any comments or any contributions or any corrections? No? No corrections? Okay, thanks so much. Enjoy your breakfast. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.